So, I guess we, the theme I wanted to speak about is it's a theme that is very, very centrally Shayach to Rosh Hashanah, and that is the theme of Malchus. And I'd like to try a little bit to explain what Malchus is. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that the reason for the Seder HaTfilah in Rosh Hashanah is Imre Lefanei Malchus, Shetam Luchuni Aleichem, Zechroinus, Shealu Zechonechem Letoiv, and so on. Ubameh it says B'Shoifris. So we have a Malchus and Zichronos expressed through Shofris, and that's why our Seder Tefillah is Malchus, and many Rimazim and Shofar for Malchus, and so on. The point that I would like to try to give some time and explain is, we tend to have a lot of different similar ideas clumped together. For instance, that Hashem is Melech, that is Adon, Moshel, those are all, I guess, in our mind, just boil down, he's the boss. And you just use different terminology to, to make it less boring. So we call him Adon, call him Melech, we call him this, call him that. And I really think it's important, because it's Malchus is the specific core inyan of Rosh Hashanah, to try to distinguish Malchus from anything other term similar to it. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolute master of the world and the ruler of the world, and everything owes it to him, and so on and so forth. Yes, we know that. But Melech is a very, very specific term. It has its own a definition with tremendous ramifications in terms of our relationship. Let's start with the Gemara. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Lamed Beis, the Gemara speaks about what psukim are eligible to be used for Malchus. So generally speaking, the pasuk must mention the word Melech. That's something that is true to Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. And there are certain restrictions. It can't be Peronius for Yisrael, Peronius for Lumusom is good, fine. So the Gemara has the following machloikis. Toshma, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad. So that the Gemara says is Malchus. Divrei Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi holds Shema Yisrael is appropriate Malchus. The Rabbi Yudai Me'ena Malchus. Shema Yisrael is not Malchus, simply because the word Melech is not included in it. There is no word Melech in Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad. Is Malchus. Says not Malchus. On the other hand, Malchus. Malchus. So we have a machlokus, and the one that has stayed in halacha is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad is Malchus lahalacha, despite the fact that the word Malchus is not mentioned. We call it Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim, despite the fact that it's not mentioned. So, obviously, according to Rabbi Yossi, who holds it's valid as Malchus, it means that it's something which is the even though it doesn't use the word Melech, but it defines Malchus in a way that fits exactly with the intent of the word Malchus. So where Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad do we have anything about Malchus? We have Hashem Elokeinu. The word Elokeinu, if the word Elokim could be used as Malchus, you would have thousands of psukim that wouldn't help. Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. Yes, it all is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's one, he's a Melech, he's a Odin. But if we're looking for something very specific, how in the Pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad do we have the concept of Malchus? And twice, A, we use it as a Pasuk, as an appropriate Pasuk for Malchus, and we call it Kabbal Samach HaShemai. That's the point I would like to try to address, starting from that Gemara. So let's go back to our comparison of Adon and Malchus, and let's try to get a sense of the distinction. Adon and Eved, they are a hierarchy that puts the Adon on top and the Eved on the bottom, and there's absolutely no nothing is accomplished by the Avodim being subservient to the Adon. It's the Adon's prerogative. He has the right to use the labor of the slave, and the slave was a slave, is a slave, will be a slave, and nothing changes. And the Adon has free labor, and that's it. So the entire scope of Adnus and Avdus is simply a authority and an obligation to authority. There's nothing else in it. And that's a very simple, in the relationship of an Eved to an Adon, it simply means I need to do what I'm told to do. That's where it starts, that's where it ends. Nothing more to it. Let's go to Malchus. And Malchus is a very, very different, a very, very different type of setup totally. Let's take an example. We have, it says in Chazal that the different Evarim, different organs in the body are the Melech, and the Kaved there are three, there's the Moach, and there's the Lev, and the Kaved, meaning the brain, the heart, and the liver, and together they form the letters Melech, Moach, Lev, Kaved. The each one is sort of king over a different domain. On the head, the mind is king. On the chest and that level of function, of physiological function, the heart is king. And on the stomach and so on, that level, the liver is king. So when we're talking about that concept of a king, we're not talking about a master and a slave. That's not the picture at all. What we're talking about is you have a composite being that requires each and every element of it, but it requires something to direct it, or else it becomes many pieces. A body that does not have an organ that is controlling everything centrally is not a body. It's a bag of limbs. When you have some sort of focal point that puts each thing in its place and gives it it regulates its function vis-a-vis the entire image, then we begin to have something that is a Malchus. So a Malchus is an entity that has discrete units, each one which can exist independently, but together forms a greater whole that we'll call the Malchus. So, for instance, so let's go back to our Mashal again, let's reevaluate it. When you have a master and a slave, so the slaves are nothing. They don't form together anything more. They just labor. And the master, it's the master using the slaves to do his work, and that's that. The slaves themselves are simply, what's the right word for it? They're a quantity of energy, of engines, and so on. Whereas a Malchus is a group of people who together form an entity that's greater than any one person, and each and every person, when that entity is realized, is possibly a vital part of it, and yet it takes direction from the center. So we're talking about a type of apparatus that we have some sense of it, even though we can't wrap our hands around it. where a group of people function away, where they have they create a nation, which is something much greater than an individual. People will, for instance, let's give an example for it. Will a person risk his life to save someone else's life? Some people yes, some people not. Nobody will make an argument that you have to. Halachically, you don't have to. But a soldier fighting for his country doesn't see it as, I'm risking my life to save A's life or B's life or C's life. I'm risking my life for the country. The country is an entity. My nation is an entity. And it's an entity that me as an individual, I'm the soldier. My job is to fend off the attackers because I'm part of something much bigger entity. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Chazal have, there's a Pirkei Rabbi Elazar that gives an extraordinary quote-unquote reason as to why HaKadosh Baruch created the world. And I want to explain this because so that this not Chazal be misused. When we talk about reasons why HaKadosh Baruch created the world, whether it's to do good, whether it's kvodo, all these things, none of these are psychological reasons as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed create a world. That type of thinking has no place. We have no ability to think of anything that prompted God. We don't think there's anything like that. Prompting means the sequence. You know, A causes B causes C causes D. None of that exists with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's not something that we can ascribe to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in any way. But the real question is, we look around and we need to ask ourselves, what was the purpose of creation for us? What's our goal? All of the different descriptions that Chazal gave us are there to describe, what do I see in front of me? What's my marching orders? So if it's lehetiv, that requires something. If it's lekvodo yisparach, that requires certain things. So the Pirkei Avos says that ein melech b'li am. There, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to express himself as a melech, and a melech does not exist without an am, without a nation. In a certain sense, what Chazal are telling us in a very deep way is that we, to realize Malchus, to realize Malchus, it requires people. Even though we say in Adon Olam, B'tera Kol Yitzir Nivra Zay Melech Shmo Nikra, that even before the world was created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was still a melech, but it's understood to be in anticipation of a world that will come. So it says there's no melech without an am. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to realize Malchus, people need to be there to realize Malchus, and that's what we were created. So Malchus is the stamp of divine on a people as a group of people who express a certain ideal. So just like every nation expresses a certain personality as a nation, when we speak about Frenchmen in a general sense, we conjure up an image maybe of love of beauty, of wine, or whatever it is. We talk about Englishmen. We talk about a certain national character that transcends any individual, but it's the larger expression of the peoplehood. It's the common denominator. Klal Yisrael specifically, since they represent Adam at its core, represents something of as together of Malchusa Yisparach. So the word is Malchusa Yisparach, is the expression of the vision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for mankind, for peoplehood, for humanity, as is his Ratzon. So we have the relationship, we have now Malchus, which is really, really a fundamental goal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, or the fundamental goal, expressing that where the entirety of the world together is like, it's like a puzzle, where when you snap the pieces together, it expresses the Malchus Yisparach. The Melech is not simply there to give orders so that his orders be fulfilled for his benefit, like an Adon and Eved. An Adon Eved is simply the Eved is a raw material to service the Adon. The Adon needs something schlepped, pulled, pushed, whatever it is. Malchus requires that the pieces see themselves as the pieces that will construct the vision of the Melech. So let's take two points, two very significant points that come out from it. One is, it says, there's a famous Gra, and many before him have said it. People say it on the Gra's name, but many others have said it before him also. The difference between Melech and Moshel is that a Moshel is there to be, a Moshel is a ruler. In other words, whether or not you like it, he rules over you. A Melech is someone that you accepted him willingly, like Malchusa Beratzen Kibbul Aleihem. Now, to us, that seems to be a relatively minor distinction, because at the end of the day, once you have Malchus, nobody is independent anymore. In other words, there are no people's rights under a Melech, and halachically a Melech is an absolute dictator. So the only difference is in the first step. So what difference does it really make? Why would we call it two separate things? The guy makes a big deal out of it. These medayik, the words in the pasuk, you know, that by goyim is called memshala, but it's called malchus. Why this distinction? I mean, fine, there is a subtle difference. He grabbed power, he was brought into power by people. But at the end of the day, they both rule. So why is that such an important distinction? The answer is, a melech who nobody wants as a melech really doesn't create a malchus. It's just a glorified Adon Eved relationship. All it is if the parts don't see their own realization as being the pieces of that greater entity. So just like when you're working avadim, the fact that they're cultivating a great big field and bringing in a lot of crops and the person is selling it and buying more fields, this and that, to them it's just a hard day's work that they have no choice about. There's nothing there in terms of self-realization, self-accomplishment, self-achievement. There's nothing like that over there, and therefore it's something which is it means nothing in terms of the people. So unless it's Beratzon Kibbul Aleihem, unless it's something that people willingly accepted, meaning that that this is their desire, this is their sense of what they want, they can't, it's not a malchus. So the gap between Malchus and Memshala is not simply how did the king happen, what's the history of the king? It's what is it? Is it somebody enslaving people, or is it people coming together to realize something through the Melech? That's one big distinction between a Malchus versus an Avdus / Memshala. A second distinction is, when somebody is master over many, many avadim, what do these avadim have in common? The answer is tsaras. In other words, the only thing that binds me to the other eved and to the other eved is simply that we all suffer from the same problem. We're all enslaved by you know, Paramelech Mitzrayim. We're all in the labor camp together. There's nothing there that inherently makes me one with the other. It's just like if you're stuck with 100,000 people in an airport in a snowstorm, what do you have in common with them? You have in common, you're all stuck, and that's it. There's nothing ever comes out that you would call any unity. You have it says Vayhi Bishur Melech Besasef Vashem Yachad Shifte Yisrael. Klal Yisrael can become one only when they have a Melech. So without a Melech, even if they would like to be one, there's no such thing as achdus. And I want to make a semi-side point about this. I think it's an important point. If people get together and they say, you know, if we all get together and patrol our block at night and put together a fund for people out of work, whatever it is, it's nice, it's good. That's not achdus. We're together cooperating to ward off problems. That's fine. It's a good thing, but it certainly has nothing to do with achdus. We're not part of one organ. We're simply pooling together resources when it's pragmatic, when it's beneficial to do so. But if we together say we want to build something together, we want to establish Torah together somewhere, we want to do something together, that's when you become one. It's only possible if there is a central, if there's a place where, I don't know the word command, but or hadracha, where something flows from a center directing all the pieces. An army is a magnificently unified entity because there's a very clear structure of command. So vayhi b'shurin melech b'sasev v'ashe om yachad shiti Yisrael. It's telling me that without a melech, with all good feelings and intention, there can't be achdus, because we're not united by any one ideal or principle. A person embodying those principles is the best, but at least a common principle. It's a bit of a digression, but I think it's just an important thing because people talk about it a lot. When people come out with the statement, we Jews have to stick together, remember, Hitler did not distinguish between reform, conservative, black, white, etc., etc., etc. That statement tells us that we have nothing in common, really, except tzaras. In other words, we're all stuck at the airport. So it doesn't make us one people, it makes us many people on the same flight, and sometimes it's advantageous to pull resources. That's about it. That's not achdus. Again, it's certainly nice to be helpful when we all need help and so on. But to call that achdus is a mockery of what it is. The only way you could have an achdus is we all want to work together, because only when each piece is in place are we together realizing the vision of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is a certain Malchus Shemayim, and every single person has a different element that he can contribute, and it comes together. Let's take a little bit of a grisly muscle, but certainly we'll portray it accurately. Imagine if a person is buying meat in a butcher shop. So if I say, okay, what do you want? I want the sides, the ribs. I want heart, I want liver, I want this, I want that. All of these are just volume, and each piece is another piece of meat that I want. That's it. When I have a live animal, each piece is contributing its own individual character and ability and use, and it's all connected to what we would call the life force, whatever that is, and that's all of it connected together to some central life force, and the liver is doing this, and the lungs doing that, and the heart's doing that, and so on and so forth. So when we speak about Achdus and Klal Yisrael, it's only possible, A, if we find the positive Achdus, not just we need to stick together because. Even if it's a true statement, but that vision is a vision of a group of refugees just working pragmatically together till they get out of the problem. Secondly, you need to have a head. So you can have it in terms of a vision like the Torah, which is problematic, because if you don't have one Sanhedrin and one Deah to say what the Torah wants and so on and so forth, and you can't direct people individually, that's why we have a profound lack of real unity. But more than that, if we had a king, he would embody all of it. But at least having the Torah means we have a picture. It's like when you're putting a puzzle together, you can have instructions how to put together, but at the minimum, if you have a picture of what it should look like when it's put together, you're already halfway there. You see what the picture adds up to. So the elements of Malchus require and imply a unity, a certain head, a certain putting together, and it requires that each piece sees itself as being part and parcel of that togetherness. Let's go back to our Gemara over here. So Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That Hashem is one is not only sort of a theological observation, and it's something that we should ponder sometimes. You know, we speak about the core of our religion being there being one God, and we speak about people being tvuchim al yichudecha, slaughtered for the oneness of Hashem. And our biggest gripe with Christianity is the Trinity or duality of forces involved and so on. I mean, yes, we believe it to be true, Hashem is one, but why would the core statement, we'd expect the core statement to be Hashem exists, Hashem controls the world. But Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is really the core of what's the central nekuda of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is supposed to be Tofes. And the answer is because in terms of our relationship as a tzibur, Shema Yisrael is, as a tzibur, that's where that and only that way is their expression of the relationship HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the core wants with the world. Like we said before, we're never talking about Hashem and describing Hashem. That's not something that is up that we can do. What we're describing when we talk about Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim and all of that is the structure of our relationship, our place in the world in relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem Echad means that the world, even though it has so many different elements to it, since they're all projected from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way of expressing it is by having the pieces one, having the pieces echad. So the core expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus is Hashem Echad. Because, yes, we didn't use the word Melech, but the Melech, the word Melech, the word Melech means that point of oneness that can take all the pieces of the world and put it in a place where it becomes one unit instead of many different pieces. There's a remez that people that they point out many times. The word Melech is the focal point of the Aleph Beis. Melech are the middle letters of the Aleph Beis, and therefore it's just like a focal point is the midpoint where everything comes to a head, so to speak. The Rambam calls the Melech as the lave of the Am. There's also I once heard Pshat. I'm saying it over a little bit different than I heard it, but it's the same point, I believe. It says that Bilam wanted to destroy the Jewish people, and he HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a split second he gets angry, and Taisus asks what could HaKadosh Baruch Hu have said, and Taisus says Kaleim, Kaf Lamed Mem, which means destroy, and they point out again. This has been said by many that Kaleim is the opposite of Melech. So it's a game. In other words, what Taisus tried to pick up, find the shortest word to destroy, and that'll be the word you can say in a split second. What Taisus is getting at? It's the opposite of Melech. What Taisus is getting at over there? What's the point? The point is, if I were to, let's say a person has a primitive person walks into a house and there's I don't know, big machine making noise and it's disturbing him. He can't go to sleep. There's a big air conditioner, an old air conditioner, a refrigerator, whatever it is. So if a person is primitive, so and he wants to close it, he'll start taking apart piece by piece until it stops working. It can sometimes take a while. A person who's knows something will simply take the plug out. And you take the plug out, that's it. In other words, everything has, if the world is bits and pieces and bits and pieces and bits and pieces, to destroy it, you need to destroy the bits and pieces. But if there's a central point that you can say this is pulling the plug, it would be the hifuch of melech. It would be undoing that point of melech. If just like a bag full of organs from an animal is not an animal, it's a lot of meat, that's all it is, it's its weight in meat, it's not an animal, because you just pulled out whatever was that central point of life force. The minute it stops living, all the organs, the minute the animal stops living, it's just a bag of different organs. The same thing is true about the world, Nakadosh Baruch Hu. Malchus is the point of it's the point of meaning for the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Melech is not at all totally different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Adon, yes, for many reasons we need to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Adon. He's an Adon with Avadim, and whether we like it or not, those situations that we don't like, and those situations that we can't understand, and those situations that we have to do because we have to do. And that's an Adon Eved relationship, and that's and that's an important piece of it. But in the big picture, if we ask ourselves, what's our avoda? What are we aspiring to? What do we need to accomplish? The answer for that is Malchus. Since that was the most central reason for creating a Bria, accepting Malchus on our Malchus Yisbarach on ourselves is the central avoda of a person. To accept Malchus means, first of all, that we identify with the vision, with the message. You know, everybody talks about, it's one of these places where everyone quotes Tikkun Olam, Tikkun Olam, Tikkun Olam, it as being a most core Jewish value. But it's not mentioned anywhere. In Kabbalah, they talk about Tikkun, and it means absolutely nothing like what they're talking about. But the one place we do mention it is in Aleinu is taken from the Tefillah Rosh Hashanah. Aleinu is not it wasn't miyusid for after davening. It's the Tefillah of part. It's our musaf. L'sakein olam b'malchus shakai. The tikkun olam is when malchus shakai, and the word shakai means shedai l'chol b'yosef, means each piece has the place it needs and what it is. That's the core. That's the place where either you put the plug in or you take it out. So the avodah of Rosh Hashanah is the day of realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world, and the creation itself didn't bring out a world with people and so on. It brought out the picture of Hashem's Achdus in a different way, in a way of a riot of people and peoples and a world whose job is to manifest HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Achdus by creating a Malchus Shakai, by creating a framework of Malchus. It requires, first of all, Malchusei Beratzin Kibbal Aleihem. It requires our understanding and identifying with the big picture, with that vision, and understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the core of my existence is, that's the first point of it. It also, if it's appropriate, if it's done, if a person was mekabel it correctly, then it creates the achdus amongst Klal Yisrael first, the world. It means all the pieces click into place, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's like a puzzle. If you with thousands of pieces, you can put them together many ways, but almost all ways except for the correct way will leave you a lot of extra pieces or missing pieces. It's not going to, the pieces won't come together. Real Achdus is when you have the pieces aligned with the same idea and ideal and vision. It's a certain prerequisite for Kabbalah Zomar Shemayim, and it is a reflection of a true Malchus Shemayim. And that is the Avodah Malchus. On the day the world was created, we have this core Avodah of understanding that besides the personal need to do as HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, and that Tzivui, and that's good for us individually, the big vision of Bryas Olam is Malchus, and recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Melech on Rosh Hashanah requires identifying with it, Beratzen Kibbalayim, identifying with it, and understanding that all the pieces will find their place in it. And I am full of admiration for what you do out there. People, when I go to New York, people look at me at Silver Spring being out there, and you know, I'm a chalutz kind of, I'm a pioneer. We're holding the fortress. I know we don't hold a candle to you. Rabbi Reingold was there in the summit. He told us some wonderful, wonderful things. And Baruch Hashem, continued atzlacha, and we're fortunate we have a Portland boy bas in yeshiva, and it's a tremendous nachas ruach to everybody, and a good kibben shir, k'siva sima taiva. Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Take care, Hanan.